All right, you got to promise me you're going to stay awake this time. It's after lunch, but tomorrow, after lunch, you could sleep. But today, after lunch, you can't. We have seen the reestablishment of the Word of God, the value that the book had had on the heart of the people, and the impact that reading, understanding, we saw the results. We saw, as a result of people hearkening to the Word of God, what impact that have left upon them. We saw maintaining the orders that was given in the Scripture in regard how to keep the feast. We saw also how the Word of God was like a mirror, as it was said the other day, exposed them. The light of the Word of God exposed their condition. And that led them to humble themselves, to confess their sins, to separate from the people, to separate from the people around them, to separate from the deeds of the nations around them, to separate from those who are stranger, to be not equally yoked with unbeliever. And they confess their sins. They also recognize the faithfulness of God, the righteousness of God, and the goodness of God. Wonderful things had taken place. Now, in a couple of days, if the Lord leaves us here, we're going to have a new year. And usually, with a new year comes a new year's resolution. Okay, I am going to start on January 2nd, or January 1st, or whatever. I am going to start, and you make a list for yourself of what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And everything is going to be wonderful. That's what I'm going to do starting the New Year's resolution. And actually, what we were reading here was a New Year's resolution to them. The rededication that they have taken upon themselves to do. So, it's a two-edged sword, and we want to talk about that. It is not enough that I take the Word of God and let it shine in my heart. It must be an action as a result of that. And each and every one of us need know where they are and know also where they should be. As a result of that, the rededication, the readjustment that needed to take place. And we have a lessons here to learn from what the remnant who have been exposed to the Word of God have decided to do. We want to see the positive and the negative, and we want to learn from them. So when we go home from here, it wasn't that the fact now we know, but what are we going to be? What kind of young people are we going to be when we get home? What evidence that's going to be obvious to God first, because that's what we really do. We don't do it to show off to people. First is to God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And then to those around us. What are they going to see as a result of us being under the sound of the Word of God, having the light of the Word of God shine in our hearts, knowing what it takes to repent, knowing how to repent, knowing the process of repentance, knowing all of these things now, what are we going to do? And we need to look at these verses that we have read to see what these people have decided to do and what could we learn from them.
Perhaps there was a commendable thing that Israel was trying to do here in with this covenant, in fixing a seal upon their names, because God records their names here. And I think in the outline it asks us why do we think it was important that these individuals' names were named. You know, we come across genealogies in Scripture that we kind of skip over very often, and we miss some of the benefit of that. But God loves to name individuals who, in sincerity of heart, seek to change, repent, go in a different direction than what they previously had been walking in. And I think, as Brother Amos said, the challenge for us is that it's more than just you know, a quick word, or sometimes we're in a setting like this, this environment, and we the Spirit of God speaks to us, so we are energized spiritually, and we go home and we seek to make some quick changes, but there isn't that real commitment to turn away from something and to turn to God. And so that desire kind of wanes very quickly over a week or two or a month, and we're back into a rut. But I think it's commendable in that if you look at just very quickly, verse 1, now those who set their seal were, and it begins with the man who had the exercise over the ruin of God's people, Nehemiah. And in verse 9, the Levites. Verse 10, their brethren. Verse 14, the chiefs of the people. And verse 28, and the rest of the people. If you remember, we said that Ezra was astonished at the fact that the failure had begun with the leaders. And here I think we're seeing the opposite, in that there has been confession. And here's Nehemiah, here are the Levites, here's their brethren, the chiefs of the people, and then all the people likewise are setting their names as a seal that what God did was just, that we are under the hand of these kings that have been placed over us because of our sin. But we want God to know that we are going to modify, repent of our behavior. And I'll just make this last point and others can add. We start at verse 28. It says, not only the rest of the people, all they who had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God. Sometimes we think of separation in a very negative way. Mm-hmm. And we think if I'm separating from someone, that I'm over here by myself, and, you know, none of us wants to be isolated. We all have that that feature about us that needs other people. The socialization aspect is important. So it's never that we're going to be separated and we're going to sit over there because either I am better or there's no one else like me. You get the Elijah syndrome. Lord, it's just me. But it's separation unto something. I think of the saints in the New Testament in Thessalonica. They separated from idols unto God to serve the true and living God. So when we separate from what is wrong, we're going to find that there are others too that the Lord has exercised their hearts, that we with them find ourselves now separated from that which was wrong unto the law of God, and we get encouragement because we know that we are not alone.